compelling, inspiring, innovative.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
They plead not guilty. The defendant is not guilty.
You're the one who's guilty.
Call the first witness.
Is that a question?
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
What is a Ute?
I am instructing my client not to answer that question on the grounds of self-incrimination.
Hi, and welcome back to the Charleston School of Law podcast. I'm your host, John Struble. You can find us online at charlestonlaw.edu/podcast and go through our archives of interviews with faculty and leaders in the community around the subject of the practice of law. Joining us today, Liz Stribling, Director of Education and Outreach at Charleston Pro Bono Legal Services. How was your weekend, Liz?
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
You lost a tennis tournament.
I did. I lost a tennis match. We fought hard. My husband's team won, so there were some ups and downs.
But you were excited about the U.S. Open one.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. Both my favorites won. So.
Good. Excellent. Charleston Pro Bono Legal Services has been on campus today and is a wonderful partner with the Charleston School of Law. For those who aren't aware of what Charleston Pro Bono Legal Services offers, can you kind of give us just a thumbnail sketch of that?
Sure. So we provide low-income residents of Charleston County civil legal aid in family law, housing, and human trafficking. We're right downtown on Church Street. We've been around sometimes under a different name, but for over 50 years.
Wow.
We try to be a nimble organization and adjust our services to the needs of the community.
And when you talk about the needs of the community, what are you seeing right now in this time and space are the most needed services?
Well, there's a housing crisis, a national one and a local one. The Princeton Eviction Lab deemed North Charleston the highest, the city with the highest rate of evictions in the entire nation. Okay. So the Supreme Court mandated we try this housing court program. We started in one court and now we're in eight. It's the, 15 minutes before someone becomes homeless, they're about to face eviction and our attorneys are there offering them services. So we're dealing with the cost of living that's so high, wages that aren't going up, and lots of families with nowhere to go.
You spoke to students today who are very excited about serving the greater good and doing community service here and plugging into your program. How did they fit into your program? Where are the opportunities there?
We're so happy to have this partnership with the Charleston School of Law. I feel like it's mutually beneficial because we're training students and to love public interest work and to talk to clients and look them in the eye and see what's going on in their lives. So we offer lots of opportunities for a lot of client interaction. Students can do their pro bono hours through us in housing court, also in office. So they get a chance to work with the attorneys those ways. In addition to that, we offer several different paid fellowships that are more extensive and sort of deeper level learning opportunities through the summer and through the school year.
And you could check those out online at charlestonlaw.edu. Liz, when our students come to work for you, it's eye-opening because they see some things that they in their world don't see every day.
Yes, sir.
What are some of those things that you deal with on a daily basis that a student gets to really get experiential understanding from it?
Well, my first phone call was about a murder.
Wow.
So that was kind of shocking. We don't do anything criminal. So we did refer the person to the public defender's office. But I think we take for granted that people understand their rights and like what a lawyer can do. A lot of times folks think that if they're in an emergency situation, they need to call the lawyer. So we get a lot of emergency phone calls and we have to say, no, the law is slow. This takes a while. So a lot of times it's just listening to somebody in crisis and trying to, use medical language, trying to triage the situation to see if it's something that the law can eventually help with in their civil matter, or if we need to refer them to my sister's house, if it's domestic violence or public defender, if there's criminal. So every day when the phone rings or someone walks through the door, it's a learning experience.
Yeah. And you can't put that on your to-do list every day.
No,
those things just happen. They walk in. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned one of the things that you enjoy doing a lot is expungements. because those little small steps can make a huge difference in someone's life. When we talk about expungements, what are we talking about? What type of services are those?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. I love the idea of a fresh start. So we got some limited funding. It was about $11,000 to for sort of a trial expungement program, and we're working through a wait list currently. But that's like an access to justice issue. So if you can afford to get things expunged and you can do it quicker, then some folks are able to do that at a much quicker pace. If you're trying to decide if it's groceries or expungement, you're going to get the groceries. So we're excited to offer that. But you know, destruction of records for just, it's a limited number of things. So we're trying to find candidates who have one or two things on their record. Mm. And if we can help them clean that up, then they have access to better jobs, to housing even. I had a gentleman come in today. He's just the coolest man. He is a veteran. He's 74 years old. He has a minor misdemeanor charge from, I think it was like 2013. He printed everything out. He came in with his little binder, and he is already retired, but he just wants his record clean. He just wants it to say that there's no charges, you know, on his record. And so it's cases like that that make it really exciting.
Yeah, I bet it does. And it takes a whole team of the legal community to really come around these services, because there's not one attorney who handles all this kind of stuff. Can you talk about how Charleston has kind of like wrapped their arms around this program and what they're doing?
Yeah, we feel really grateful to have the partnerships in the private sector that we do. Our CEO, Alyssa, she's worked really hard in the 8 years she's been at the helm developing these relationships, so that if there's something that we can't handle, then we've got a great list of friends who see the honor in doing pro bono work and are able to, you know, react when we need. So for the expungements, for example, we did a CLE to help train up some attorneys who might not have it, because sometimes it's like very particular about certain things. And so once that training is done, then we've sort of farm out those expungements. And we're always looking for more partnerships. There's always like probate matters that are sometimes beyond the scope of our family law attorney. Right now we have 194 applications that are pending. And we have a staff of 11.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yes. And only four or five are attorneys. So we definitely need the community to get behind us, and we're so happy that they do.
Yeah. It's such a wonderful opportunity to speak to you as the Director of Education and Outreach for Charleston Pro Bono Legal Services. Liz Stripling is our guest. Liz, let me ask you one additional question. For students who didn't attend today's event at lunchtime and they find this, they're passionate about some of this stuff, but they didn't have an opportunity to talk today, what next steps can they take to begin looking at an opportunity with your office?
I think the easiest thing would be an email to me or to call our office. What we've noticed is once folks come in and they start doing one little project with us, then we keep them for all 3 years. So we'll have students do their pro bono hours and then apply for the Ackerman Fellowship and get the opportunity to get paid over the summer and learn a lot. And then they'll apply again for the Catherine Westbrook Fellowship and work with Ann Ross in human trafficking. So once we get you, we're not going to let you go unless you graduate and have to move on. But I think just, you know, give us a call, come do some hours and see what you think.
Between the fellowships and, you know, some of our grads who are working on staff there, obviously Alyssa is a graduate here. Cody Tetmer is a graduate from here and doing great work over there. We just thank you so much for all you're doing in the community. And it usually is, you can never do enough, right? Yeah. How do you kind of balance that and stay steady and kind of work through that process for yourself? Take it one day at a time?
We have a crying couch in our office.
There you go. I knew there was something there.
We've been trauma-informed, trained a bit, because it's never one issue. Especially if you live in poverty, it's never just the one bill. It's never just the one, custody matter. They kind of compound and pile up. So we do work really hard. The other half of my job is outreach. So I try to connect to all the other nonprofits who are doing amazing things that we can't do.
Yeah.
So having a network, having things like Trident United Way, they hold a safety net meeting so we can meet all these other nonprofits and talk about the options and we can't help. So if we don't have an answer, I always think like if I'm on the phone with somebody and I have to say no, I imagine that they've called five other places and five have said no, and this is sort of the last straw. So we take it very seriously that when we have to say we can't do this service, that we can provide three or four places that might be able to help. So
what did you do prior? You've been with Charleston Pro Bono Legal Services 2 years.
Yeah.
What was your career before that?
I was a teacher.
You were a teacher and then you came here.
Yeah.
What was the draw or attraction or passion to want to make that transition from education to this nonprofit area?
Yeah, I taught for many years. I taught at Porter Gaud 7th, 8th, and 12th grade. Then I taught as an adjunct English professor at the College of Charleston for about 5 or 6 years as well. And during that time, I also, because that's two jobs isn't enough, I started a nonprofit in 2017. It's called the Undergarment Society.
Okay.
And we raised funds and new bras and underwear for women escaping domestic violence.
Okay.
So I remember the first time we collected these undergarments and we were going to distribute them. I had no clue the needs of the community until I started talking to other nonprofits.
Sure.
So as much as I loved being a teacher, I was sort of hooked onto the nonprofit world.
Yeah.
And that's where this next step came.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Liz Stribling from the Charleston Pro Bono Legal Services Office. If you need more information, visit charlestonlaw.edu or visit their website, which is
charlestonprobono.org.
Streaming on Spotify, iTunes, and charlestonlaw.edu.
This is the Charleston School of Law podcast.